Blog Talk Radio.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! When I move, you move. When I move, you move. When I move, you move. Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that?
Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
How you ain't gon' cut? Girl, I'm me. I'm the guest. Freezing you in VIP. CEO, you don't have to CID. I'm young, wild, and like G.I. Lee. Blah! We ain't got nothing to worry about. Whoops. Let security carry him out. Watch out for the medallion. My diamonds are reckless. Feels like a midget is hanging from my necklace. I pulled up with a million trucks. Looking, smelling, feeling like a million bucks. Pass the bottles. The heat is on. We in the huddle all f***ing that Cheech and Chong. What's wrong? The club and the moon is full. And I'm looking for a thick young lady to pull. One sure shot way to get him out of them pants. Take note to the brand new dance like this. When I move, you move. When I move, you move. When I move, you move. Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah, DJ, bring that back.
Go on with your big. Let me see something. Tell your little friend he can quit mean mugging. I'm lit and I don't care what no one thinks. But where the f*** is the waitress at with my drink? My people outside and they can't get in. We gon' rush the back door and break. The owner already pissed cause we sorta late. But our time and our clothes gotta coordinate. Most girls looking right.
Our time and our clothes gotta coordinate. Hey. Welcome. To this Tuesday Talk About It edition of Kale's Corner. You know what I mean? I thought about that this weekend, and that's the new name that I wanted to come up with. Before I go any further, there's some cleaning up I need to do. Brother Lou, are you with me?
Loud and clear, Kale. Loud and clear.
Lou, please. Please, now, I did pass your number on and ask everyone to listen to your show on Saturday,
yes.
But I had some Gordon and Mac business that I had to tend to. There was no avoiding it. So I had to miss your program, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Lou is one.
Yes.
Of our faithful listeners here on Kale's Corner. And for those of you who don't know, Lou does a podcast as well, a sports podcast as well. And I thought about it after the job was finished around 8:30, 9 o'clock, Lou, Saturday night. And I said, damn it, I miss Lou's Lou's
you
show.
You can listen on YouTube.
Okay. Well, as long as you're here, I want you to advertise that where people can go to YouTube and hear your special program, because I hate.
All right. Well, keep in mind, you won't hear yourself on the replay. I mean, if you're gonna hear yourself, you have to call in live. But. Okay, the number is 512-543-4662 on Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you just want to hear myself, what the commentary I did for the show, go to YouTube and type in The Enhanced Sports Show. And type in it exactly as I say. Otherwise, it's not going to go through. So go to YouTube and type in those exact words.
The Enhanced Sports Show.
However, this week there was some difficult technical difficulties, so the whole show was not posted up there. So you might want to check out shows from previous weeks.
Okay, that'll work. So hey, you can go to YouTube and get your Lou Feel on. You can go and get your Lou Feel on YouTube. And I'm serious, Lou. I felt so bad about missing you because I wrote me a sticky note on my computer to call in, and like I said, the lady called me at the last minute and was like, "Mac, I really need you, this, that, and the third." So I had to go over and take care of them. As my motto says, we'll never leave you in the dark. So I did not want, I couldn't leave. And plus, she was an older woman, so I didn't want to leave her and her family.
The show was a bit of a mess, so it was a good thing probably you didn't call in. And I had a crank caller as well, which really messed it up. Oof.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he also does some of the other shows. Let's put it this way. If you're going to call, remember, it's a sports show. Don't call like and do crank calls or do anything that's not sports related, okay? Because we need people with expertise in that, not to make a mockery of me or any of my other colleagues who do sports shows as well.
Yeah, that's crazy. If you're going to take the time to call in, take the time to respect the host and all of his listeners. I believe you were on with me, Lou, a while back, and I've had a crank caller, we just with no certain no certain giving him attention, letting him do his thing. And as I'm sure you moved on as if he wasn't even there. So kudos to
that's
Lou on
to
that.
And calls like that are not going to get to me. You know, it's going to take something monumentally 100 times worse to get me to stop that, because I'm not going to lose crank spot. I mean, they did in the beginning when I started with doing my own show and the callers came and I got these crank callers for whatever reason. Yeah, at first, yeah, it did bother me, but, I heard it's going to happen from time to time. And, of course, I have a secret weapon, of course, to stop that.
Yeah, yeah.
The mute button.
I'm about to say, as the host of the show, we do have a weapon in our corner. So you guys can call and waste your time and play around if you want to. We will, and beyond the shadow of a doubt, show you exactly where you will be. You know what I mean? And that's with no one hearing you at all. So, yeah, you come with the cranks if you want to, and we know how to silence a crank caller. Believe that. Believe that. And I'm sorry you had that on your great program, Luke. Like I said, I know you handled it as a professional. So, you say what?
It was the first time in 3 years.
Wow.
I've been doing
Look at it this way, Luke. The idiots are paying attention because they know that you are having a big program. So, like you said, for the first time in 3 years, the idiots wanted to come and show themselves. So, no problem with that. No problem with that at all. Thank you for your participation. And your number will still count as a listener on my program. So, thank you very much, idiot. Thank you very much, idiot. Even though what?
Even though you're a putz.
I haven't heard that word in a long time, Lou.
Well, you come from my area, you hear a lot.
Okay. All right, let me go back real quick, Lou. We'll bring you back on in a second. I just wanted to send my apologies for missing your program.
I'm open every week.
Yes, sir. All right. Like Lou and I were just saying, it doesn't make sense for a person to call the show and be an idiot. I know me myself, I'm good at being the idiot for my program, and I think I can speak for Lou as well that when I say that we as professionals know how to bring the idiocy to the sports talk. So you lose all the way around the board, dummy. All right. Guys, I want to go real quick before we start this thing up. I'm happy because I really seriously don't see as many people on their phones. Now, I will say this. I don't travel the same routes to work anymore. So because I don't go in the same direction, maybe that's why I don't see the number of people using their phones while they're driving. But whatever the cause is, I appreciate it because I was seriously ticked off every day when I saw this. So I'm happy that I don't see that anymore as much. We know that there are always going to be a few rotten apples in the barrel, but you know I'm thankful that I'm not seeing as many as I used to. So you know keep that. I'm trying to keep that safety number down, y'all. I want less and less incidents over the cell phone, if I can put it that way. You know, it seems like just and very unnecessary situation for someone to go through over a cell phone. And I mean, we're having people to lose their lives, and that to me is a terrible thing. It's terrible that people are no longer here on God's beautiful green earth because of a cell phone. You know, there's so much more that we have to worry about that we just don't have control over. The phone, we can control that from the rooty to the tooty. And what I mean by that, they have devices now where we can talk and send out a call. We can hang up a call. We can talk and change our radio, what we're listening to. It's just so many safer ways that we can communicate while driving. So let's keep that in mind. And like I say, you know, to the people under the sound of my voice, thank you for being safe with your car and your cell phone. You know, we always know when I was younger in church, they used to always say it could have been the other way. Well, we know truly it could have been the other way, you know, but thank God that it wasn't. Thank God that it wasn't, and he looked out for us, provided for us, taken care of us, and really been there for us. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate you guys. I truly, truly appreciate you guys. I can't say it enough. It's a beautiful thing when, you know, you push for something of this nature, something safe, and more people, you know, seem to get behind your efforts. So thank you for those who've made that change, for those who said, no, that's not going to happen on my watch. So thank you guys. I truly, truly appreciate it. All right. Now, on today's Talk About It Tuesday episode of Kale's Corner, we'll take a look at the MLB as players warm up leading to the start of this 2024 season. I'm going to say this. My Nationals are looking good, baby. And I'm not talking about the older guys that play on the team. I'm talking about the younger guys that play on this Nationals team. They really, truly look like they are determined to just have a smooth transition from college or the minor leagues with this Nets team. And I'm here for it. I'm letting you know I'm here for it. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I told you guys I walk past the stadium all the time now because of my new post that I work is right there. So I walked past it today in the rain and just stood there looking at it. And the same old man came up to me and said, "We're almost there." And we had a little slight conversation about how they're doing and what's going on. It was just a great thing. And I for one, love, y'all, when a sports team brings D.C., DMV people together. I truly love it because it reminds me so much of the days of RFK and the Washington football team, and just it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. So, yeah, we're going to discuss that. We will also discuss this weekend in the NBA, you know, LeBron and his newest accomplishment, you know, and I want to know, also Caitlin, we're going to have a discussion about her and her NCAA accomplishment. You know, Caitlin Clark, I mean, that's an amazing young woman, very amazing. And my hat's off to her. And I'm going to tell you guys why I'm more appreciative and into her, Caitlin's accomplishment than LeBron. And it's not hating, you guys, but I'm going to discuss why I feel it's more. Okay? And I have another question. Change on who's the NBA's strongest team headed into the postseason. At first, I looked at the East and the West, and it was a matter of, the West is looking stronger. But as the days go on this Eastern side, these guys are really looking strong on the East. So that's one we're going to have to keep an eye on, you know. We're going to have to watch which team prevails in the end. But I just want to know, where are you right now with what we're seeing with this East and Western conferences, okay? NFL news. We got news out the Broncos, Denver Broncos camp, the Philadelphia Eagles combine, you know. And I want to know who raised their stock with their performance and who do you think hurt themselves with their performance or lack of at the combine. So we're going to talk about that as well. Join DMV Kale and all our Kale's Corner family each and every Tuesday and Thursday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time Zone on 563-999-3782. Kale's Corner, where keeping it real is our only real. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We keep it so real here on Kale's Corner, you know. What my man say in Airplane, butter there to the bone, cutter can't hack it. Well, some cutters couldn't hack it. The butter laid to the bone, some cutters couldn't hack it, but that's okay. We're here together on Kale's Corner. I want to preach and tell all the people streaming, I appreciate you. I appreciate. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, 563-999-3782. And when we get back, MLB, or should I say my Washington Nationals. Why we don't have a song, man? The Nets need a song, y'all. We got to put us a little petition together to get the Nets to make a song, man. All right, we'll be right back, y'all. I'm crazy. Just don't pay me no attention. Hey! Can't help it if I wanted to, man. Old Mike, man. I remember coming home from school when I was in high school before, you know, work kicked in and everything else, man, and jamming to my music and listening to Mike and loving every minute of it. You get it? You dig it? Yeah. All right, y'all. Right now, currently, the Brewers are playing the Giants. In the bottom of the fifth, the Giants are manhandling the Brewers with a score of 11-5. The Guardians are manhandling the Mariners with a score of 4-1. Diamondbacks over the San Diego Padres 5-3. Excuse me, y'all. The Mariners are not playing the Guardians. They're playing the Rangers 9-7. Yankees 4-5 under the Mets. The Mets lead 5-4. The Braves 3-0. Excuse me, y'all, forgive me. I just changed it up just in the middle of that. Let me get back to that. Oh, you know what, y'all? I was on a – okay. Yesterday, the Braves lost to the Twins 4-3. The Nationals beat the Cardinals 1-0. Dodgers beat Red Sox 2-1. Pirates beat the Rays 7-3. The Twins beat the Orioles 7-2. The Phillies fell to the Blue Jays 5-2. The Athletics, oh my God, got stomped by the Reds 15-8. And the Rangers fell to the Angels 3-2. The Padres beat the Cubs 2-1. White Sox beat the Diamondbacks 5-2. The Giants fell 12-10 to the Rockies. The Yankees beat the Marlins. And then now we're on today's earlier, the Braves beat the Tigers 3-0. The Red Sox beat the Rays 7-4. Cardinals, Twins 5-4. Pirates 6-5 over the Blue Jays. Orioles 3-2 over the Phillies. Marlins 2-0 over the Houston Astros, and so on and so on and so on. I'm so geared up and ready for baseball to start, man. I mean, I love the preseason because, like I said to you guys, the preseason lets me know that spring is coming. The weather's about to change, you know, cherry blossoms and all of that jazz about to go down. But what I love most about the spring is baseball and warm weather. I'm so sick of this cold weather, I don't know what to do. But, yeah, baseball and warm weather. All right, let's go to my man, my brother from another mother. What it do, Ted?
Hey, what's going on, Kel? What's going on, the family?
What's that?
Well, it's too early for me, you know what I mean? I'm not that big of a baseball fanatic, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's preseason, and you know, we got, like I always say, we got a long ways to go for baseball season, man.
I was going to say that.
I have to say that, you know, as you see some scores, man, you got some high-scoring games, you know, and as we say, it's predicated to what they want is offense, you know. They take away what we talked about before, the shuffle, the pitches, they on the pitch count and all those things, you know. So, you know, you can't play defense. They you know, they shut defense down for people to score. So, and the teams are not scoring. It's just that shows that they got bad batting. So,
But you know what I was thinking about? Ball is the only sport when it starts, there's really nothing else going on that you want to watch. And during that August, during that June, July, and August period, we got football coming, and it's shortly away from us, but baseball is the only other sport that's playing. So baseball, to me, is the only other sport that has two times of their season where they're the only one. We look at basketball.
Basketball ends in June. Basketball ends in June. Mm-hmm. I'm a track fan. You know, you got track going on during that season. You know, you got the Olympics coming up, you know, this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a big rivalry right there. That's all this summer, you know, in July and August, you know. So
Let me say this, man, because I forgot about all those other ones. With a sport where we don't have to look for interest in. You know what I'm saying? I do. I love golf. golf. And you know, the other day I was looking at around, didn't know not one person playing, you know, by name. Well, let me take that back. It was a few of them. There were a few of them that I knew by name, but for the most part, it's nothing like me with football and basketball, you know, and hockey, you know.
Yeah, I agree. But you know, like I said, that's a big ball statement. Because you love baseball like that, because you played baseball when you was young and all that, you know. So I get it, you know what I'm saying? I didn't play baseball, you know. I got cut from the softball team, you know. Not that I couldn't play, but I told you I changed schools in seventh grade, and went back to Garfield, right. And that coach did not like me, man, Mr. McCall. Lord rest his soul, you know, and all that. He did not like me, you know, but he loved Mikey. You know, he loved Mikey. It was Mikey, Donnie Boyce, and them. You know what I mean? They graduated years after I did. But, man, and so, yeah, and so, you know, I was just strictly basketball. I played some football, but not in school. You know, we played on the playground in the snow, on the streets, you know, tack on the grass, touching the streets, you know, get banged by a car that's parked. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But like I said, all of those sports, you know, we like that. But then now, you know, you see you got the D.C. General. They finna be hot. They talking about there. We got soccer. Now, that's one sport I would agree that we would have to find interest in, but we know that's still an international sport, you know?
Right.
And they done built up a whole new stadium over there in Southeast. So,
And it is huge.
Yeah, fool. They hooking up that era, ain't it? You know? But, yeah, so... Yeah, you know, I just think there's a lot of sports coming on. Just like I say, baseball, I just think, you know, you got a long ways for me, you know, of baseball, for me to get excited, you know, so. But we're going to go to some of the games. We're going to catch some games for sure, you know, for sure. We're going to hit some games.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, I done already seen y'all getting off the train at the bullpen right there by Ann Pizza. And we go in the bullpen for a minute, chill out, and go when the game starts. Because, you know, your boy get off at 3. The games usually start about 7. You want to get in the stadium. You want to get in the stadium around 6, 5, 6, you know, 6:30-ish, and prepare yourself for what's about to come. I'm trying to tell you. Hey, all I'm saying, my Nets look real good right now, man. I don't know if it's the influx of youngins, the fact that the learners have decided not to sell the team or what. I don't know what it is, but I'm loving it. And all I'm going to say is keep it up, boys. Keep it up.
Right.
Don't slack off because, like we say, baseball is a long daggone season, man. I'm trying
right.
to tell you what,
yeah.
six months? That's half a year.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
half
yeah.
a year, man.
Indeed. You know, but
and you
it talk
about
in October.
And flow.
You
yeah.
know, what
yeah.
October is the end, you know what I mean? So yeah, indeed. It's a long season. But the key is like you say, it's for any sports for the health, you know, for teams to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's the key. And like you say, and one thing about y'all, man, y'all, for a team that, you know, has been an exception, although, you know, you had the Senators and all that, but as far as for the National, for to be a new team, y'all have already won a pennant early. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And y'all just got a culture of winning. Y'all might not have been winning none lately as far as, you know, getting no pennants and all that, but y'all still been building. Y'all had some injuries, you know, some trades and this and that. But y'all do have a winning culture. I can get at that for an early team, you know. Club's been existing for 100 years, you know what I mean? So and stuff of that nature and Cardinals and them, the Yankees and them and like that. But for y'all decent for that. And like you said, y'all looking good. At the early stage, and y'all keep always getting young players and stuff, and yeah.
Mhm. And you know, kid, it's funny you would say that because that was one of the things I hung my hat on when they said the learners were looking to sell the team. I was like, we have a winning culture, you know. The only time that we didn't was when we started, you know, trading everybody. Rendon left. Zimmerman retired. You know, all those guys started leaving the team, and it became, I'm not going to say impossible, but it truly came hard for the team to win because they brought a whole lot of rookies up, you know. And
right.
even with those rookies, we had some good ones, but we had, you know, we were playing mature and grown opponents, and they just couldn't.
Right.
They couldn't ride
yeah.
with it. They couldn't hang with it.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
that's why I'm looking forward to this year, to seeing what this team looked like this year and how they handle, you know, the ebbs and flows of an MLB season. Because like we
right.
just said, man, it's 6 months. So there are going to be some ebbs and flows, man. They are going to
that's
be.
True.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, so.
That's why, you know, we lost 2-1, you know, but that could also show that, you know, we got some decent pitching, you know, maybe our hitting is not that great, but we ain't let nobody, you know, go crazy on us, you know what I mean?
Right,
they beat us
right.
by 1 point, you know, and which was 2-1. So I'm kind of,
yeah.
I'm inspired by that. I mean, you know, I got to check out our team, see what we're working with. You know, as
right.
I get to say, both our teams, you know, I got to do double duty. You know what I mean?
So, there you go.
You know,
there you go, man.
I recall
when this Nats team was on their run in the playoffs, and me, Ma, and Reese, and myself, man, we used to watch these games, and me, Ma, at the TV yelling, go, Reese. Oh, my God, yeah, we go. That was a fun time, man. That was
right,
a seriously
right.
fun time. And you know, people, I don't understand people that can't get themselves into the sports. Now, I know all sports
mm-hmm.
is not for everyone. I know that. I know all sports is not for everyone. But the energy that come with during the game is just like, wow. And the Nets had already been here for 5 years. They had already been
right.
here for 5 years. And everybody was, you know, you saw a lot of Nets hats and jerseys and jackets around. But let's be honest. We saw a lot of them because they looked good. They looked good. That W looked good on the merchandise.
Hey,
so
you need
know,
to,
that's,
I'm sorry. You need to go to the VA. I'm sorry. You need to go to the VA with me, though, man. They got all types of gear. They got Wizards gear. They got Capitol gear. They got the Nationals gear. Nice jackets, nice sweat stuff, man. Yeah, I'm gonna take a picture of their stuff when I go.
My only thing with that, Ted, is I'm jive-like for those who don't understand. I'm kind of upset with Ted Leonsi because you have owned this. I look at the learning, okay? They go out and get a manager that's a winner. We don't care how much he's asking for. We don't care how much they say, you know, it's going to cost us to keep him. Only thing we care about is he's a winner. That's all we care
mm-hmm.
about.
Right.
With the learning. Ted Leonsis, he has gone through numerous Washington Wizard coaches. He's gone through numerous Washington Capitals coaches. The only team he owns that has only had two coaches are the Mystics. And the Mystics is the only team he doesn't really advertise. He doesn't really put them out there. You know, so, and I was having a conversation with a guy at work the other day about this. He asked me, on a scale of 1 to 10, he asked me, on the scale of A to F, what do you give Ted Leonsis as the owner of the Wizards? And I say it's funny because for each team, he gets a different grade, you know? For each team that he owns, he gets a different grade. The Wizards, I mean, he's not an F. That's an F. The Caps, he gets an A with the Caps because he pours everything into the Caps. The Mystics,
right,
he gets an F with them as well. And we're talking about, bro, you own two teams that have been champions. The Mystics and the Caps, they've both been champions. I would think that you would put energy, more energy into the Wizards at this point because they're the only ones that haven't been champions under your ownership.
Well, with that, I guess, you know, he would have to get a good general manager because they're the one who'll be, you know, convincing to make the trades and this and that, you know. He has the final say. But, you know, you need a good general manager to be making them calls and not give up certain players and to, you know, give up certain players, then not give up money for especially a Jordan Poole. Who idea was that,
man,
you know?
And you know, I watched them, the Wizards, play Utah last night. And the announcer, Glenn Close, and I forgot the guy's name, the black guy. I can't stand him. But I listened.
Chris,
I watched the game on mute, y'all. Yeah, Chris. I can't think of his name, y'all. But anyway, and they're excited about four players for the Wizards in double ended the game in double digits. But it's the loss, bruh. I don't care about those four players. And I know as analytical broadcasters, they have to find a way to make it not as bad as it really was. But to me, Ted, Brother Ted, to me and everybody that's listening, it's exactly what the hell is wrong with the Wizards. Nobody is telling them what they're doing wrong. Everybody is telling these dudes, oh, well, you did good. Okay, well, the team lost. Him doing good means nothing.
Right.
And they showed because they're bringing Poole off the bench now, in case you didn't notice. They're bringing Poole off the bench, and he scored 31 and the average score is 29. That's what it all boiled down to, 29 a game. And I'm like, that's not good, bro. That's not good. Where are your assists? Where are your steals? You know? All these guys want to talk about is these long, crazy threes and all that circus stuff that he brought from Golden State with him. Go ahead, Ted.
Right, no, you're right. That's not winning basketball. That's circus stuff. And like you say, he lacks defense totally. He's a liability on defense. He looks lost. Mm-hmm. He definitely plays the Olay defense, as you call it. He doesn't get no assists and because he can't pass. Anytime he try to pass, he throws the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
So
last night he threw that ball off of Utah players' legs and arms and feet. I mean, he had seven turnovers, in which they had something like 18 points off of.
Okay.
No wonder you guys can't win. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No wonder they can't win. No wonder they cannot win. And these guys, the turnovers weren't in the first quarter. They weren't in the second quarter. He's turning the ball over in the third and fourth quarters, man.
Thank you.
He's turning the ball over during crunch time.
Crunch time,
bro. You can't. It's stupid to me.
How many times we say they like you say, people get excited, they play good and all that, but they always blow a lead. They always, you can always count on them blowing the lead. You know, I don't know whether they get happy or stagnant, or they think they won the game, so they ain't got to play, you know, defense. They, you know, they don't play it as it is, you know. So,
right.
I guess say, you're supposed to get crunched down on defense and everything. You know, if you got a team, you're winning, you're beating the team, you're supposed to step on their neck. You know what I'm saying? Crunch down on defense and then pack your offense, you know, should be still continue to click. But like you said, they break apart, man. They break apart.
Right.
In some aspect of the game. And this dude, Poole, I didn't even watch the game yesterday. I already just told you what I know he do, because all the other previous games I've seen, he gets himself trapped. He tried to dribble through it, do circus dribbles and all that, and get trapped and can't pass out. He either travel, you know what I mean? If it's not a travel, like you say, he bouncing on somebody's arm or leg and stuff. And then on defense, he's not in a position to get no steals. He ain't in a position to get nothing. He tried to take charges, but, dude, you're late. You don't do nothing, man. You complain about calls. Don't get back on defense. You shoot long jumpers, and you're the last one getting back on defense because you want to sit and pause. Look, please.
Big, welcome you in, big boy. I know you ain't really into basketball like that, but you know defense and offense, man. What's up, big boy? You sounding good, boy. Go ahead.
Ain't it dope? Yeah, I watch basketball during playoff time. To me, that's when it matters, because I'm not, you know, really going into it like that. But I watched this on Giannis. You know, they were talking about him and his family. That dude, man. I mean, he hasn't forgotten his family, you know. He goes back, you know, to Greece to play for them, for, you know, the Olympics and everything, with his brother on the team, you know. So I was impressed with that. Now, the big mission, he's doing the damn thing out there, you know. And what team is that?
Milwaukee.
The Bucks. Yeah, he's doing the same.
I watched that documentary as well, big boy. And Giannis is a player that I take my hat off to, man. You know, he came here, and you know, most kids get that money, first thing they want to go do is buy a big house and buy their mother a house and go get all type of jewelry and all this other stuff. Now, I'm not against buying your mother a house, because that if I have any regret, is that my career didn't take off like I wanted to, so I could have put my mom and dad in the house that they wanted. So, when Giannis came here, the boy was sad. And they were like, you got money, you got this, you got that. And he was like, I want my family. I want my family here. He did not turn things around and show that eager happiness until he got his family here. Once his family came in, and I'm not even talking about once his brother joined the team, He was happy that they were here. And guess what, y'all? He still didn't go out and buy that huge house. They all live in his two-bedroom condo, his whole family, except for his oldest brother who stayed back in Greece. But the rest of his family lived in that two-bedroom condo. And he said, I gave my mom and dad the master bedroom. And everybody was like, why would you do that? He said, I slept on the floor with my brother. Why do I need a big fancy bedroom now at this point? I don't need that. So guess what? Giannis and all his brothers playing video games, and it was just like to me, they were still in high school. But they showed a scene where the mom was like, okay, y'all turn that game off. We're talking about an NBA superstar. His mom told him, y'all turn that game off and get to bed. So that gave me a different type of respect. And because I'm the type that I rep home as hard as I do, that's the only thing that kept me from switching over to a Milwaukee fan. Because that man has everything inside of him that you want. You want a superstar of your team to have, you know? And I give him all credit.
He's grounded, and he's still showing respect for his parents. That go a long way in your life. Mm-hmm. You start thinking about, stuff that come back on you and stuff that, that can have you messed up in the day. But he don't do none of that. He's like, I don't need the big house. I don't need all that.
Yeah.
I got my family in there. That's all I need.
Mm-hmm.
And that go a long way with him as an individual. And I've got nothing but respect for the man. I'm still a Wizards fan, but I got respect for him as an individual.
Everybody
ain't doing like that. A lot of folks get out here. They get their money, they get their clout. They want to run and get their white girl. They want to run and get the big man.
I get it. But you know what? Let me say this, okay? Keeping it 100. There are some black women that would make great wives. But
yeah, and I have one now.
And I have one as well. We all do. But there are some women that are raised to cater to their man and his needs, and there are some women who are raised to that in the mindset of I'm number one, I'm first. There's no us in their mindset. There's only them, me, in their mindset. So, and unfortunately, there are more black women who are raised and taught to think that way than there are white women.
Okay.
There are some white women too.
That's cool, but please let's not get on that, man. Let me still talk about sport. Let's continue about the thing. I think God is very humble.
Go. I was about to say, he made all of his moves have been wisely calculated, from bringing his family here right down to the woman that he decided to, procreate with. You know, I listened to her and in that during that documentary, and she was as humble as he is.
But
you know,
you got to look at where he's from. He's from Greece. So what type of women you have, Mediterranean-type women. So you grow up in your environment. So, but like I say, you know, as far as he's very humble, and he stayed with one team. You know, he felt that he could win with that one team. He won one with that one team, and I think he's on the verge of getting another one. You know, definitely within 5 years. Definitely within three if that team stay together. You know,
I'm going to say this, dude. I watched them play the Clippers last night, and it was like they were down 17 points in the first half. And come that third quarter, they climbed. And I texted you and said to you, whoever decided to put Beverly and Portis on the same team, they're gonna be a problem, man. That is a monster combination. The energy that the both of them have, one toward the other, and it lingers and moves on through their teammates. You know, through their teammates. And again, Ted, I looked at their bench, and it was like they got a whole nother starting lineup on the bench. They haven't even brought everyone in yet, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, man.
It's that dog in them. That dog in Portis and what's the name for show. And like I was going to say about Melton, you know, they had a bad break, you know, last year when they was, you know, was fighting for and all this, because Middleton was hurt, you know. So now, like you say, they got a whole new mob with kind of like that same mob, except for Drew. But they made up for Drew what's the boy's name? Patrick Beverly. You know what I mean? And then, like you say, we're putting Portis to start. That's Doc. You know what I mean? Like I'm saying, Doc is a good coach. He knows what he got to work with, and he got dogs, you know, as far as them two. And Giannis, the dog, he ain't going to, you know, he's going to show you his dogness by his play, because he sure put you in the rim with him. You know, he's talking on everybody, and he's, like you say, he got new vigor and new, like he got new life about himself, man. Like he really believes. And if they stay healthy and get Middleton back, but I think something happened to him, though, again. So, but, you know, they kind of doing it without him. But if they bring him back by playoff time, you know, they don't need to rush him back. Take your time.
Not at all.
Come and sit you in, because Dame sitting there now. They let Dame do what Dame do and stuff. And man, like you said, they won without Giannis the other day. And the Clippers supposed to be one of that top teams in the West. So,
let's not forget the Clippers wasn't fully staffed either. They didn't have their full team to compete. But again, I mean, to lose a 17-point lead as they did, it's like, wow. You know, it's like, wow.
They did.
No doubt. Harden, I mean, if kid, I'm telling you, big boy, I'm telling you, if the cameras would have never went to the bench, I wouldn't have known Harden played, man. You didn't hear the announcers, you know, as they normally do, scream out his name, or he does things, a spectacular move, herky-jerky, and slow a guy down and speed him up. I saw none of that. None of that.
Because Beverly and his stuff?
He absolutely was. But let me ask y'all another question, switching lanes real quick. How do you guys feel about LeBron James and his 40,000 point.
I think that was the easiest 40,000 that any player has got. Because
wow.
you look back in the day, and the way they played, back in the day, you earned it. You got out there, and look, you went through the foul, you went through whatever you went through, and you get 40,000, that was a well-earned 40,000. He in the league right now, where they looking out for him. We're going to make sure he get his.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about whatever he's doing.
He's
getting it, and I ain't saying he ain't seeking a basket, but I'm saying that he's getting a lot of help seeking a basket.
That's
how I feel about LeBron.
Go ahead, Ted.
Excellent point. No, that's true. That's true. Excellent point, big boy. You're right. I mean, Carol was talking about it earlier, but, you know, I brought up the fact that, because we was talking about Shannon, man, he always got a straw up LeBron, you know, and always downgrade Michael Jordan, his accomplishments and all that, you know. So I was like, wow, man, it's crazy, you know. Okay, he did what he did, but I think all that was calculated to try to erase Kareem, to try to erase Kobe. But also, he's in an era where they emphasize three-point shooting. You know, Mike was playing, they didn't emphasize three-point shooting. You know, he just started shooting threes, especially after that Portland game. You know, so and then he just still wouldn't shoot threes crazy like that. You know,
Michael Jordan went last. He was in the hat. He was in a foul ain't a foul nowadays like it was back then.
Exactly.
He still did it despite that.
The Detroit rules, you know what I mean? The Michael Jordan rules, how they killed him. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And like you say, they're doing that era NBA. I mean, you can guide a person where you want them to go. You can't even touch a person, not especially a superstar like LeBron. You know, like you say, they just catered everything. They catered that end season. That title when they had the covert. They should have just shut it down. If all the teams wasn't gonna play, that's not a fair championship. That's not a championship.
Okay.
You're not competing against all the teams. That should have been shut down. But no, LeBron, okay, they had a meeting with LeBron. Okay, yeah, let's take advantage. He can calculate. Okay, let's take advantage that this team ain't in here, that team ain't in here. We could stay in, you know? And they kept it going because of that. You're supposed to shut it down, like I said. And then it's in-season tournament, knowing he's not going to get another championship, so they made this for him. And they celebrate that, please. You know?
Hey, you know
had a fit.
There's one point I was waiting and hoping one of y'all would make. And that is, this man didn't go to college, okay? He came straight into the league. He's been in the league 21 seasons.
Go ahead. When we were talking earlier, I had mentioned that, but I had mentioned that Kareem did 4 years, you know, and won all those years. And I didn't mention Mike did three, you know, but I didn't mention it, but that was in the mind. Like you say, LeBron didn't go to college, you know. All them other players went to college, and that's the wear and tear on their body.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you know when Kareem, if Kareem would have went straight to the pros and did 4 years in the pros earlier, he would have did 24 years in the NBA, you know. So and scored a whole bunch of more points and not shooting threes at all. So come on, he only shot, you know. So please, I just say, you know, he the man is cool and all that, but they built it for him, like you say, trying to make him the face. And continue to make them irrelevant in the face of it, you know. So, because they're not sure which young player they want to make the face of NBA now.
Now,
you know, since
now here's my bold statement. Okay, my bold statement: I give Caitlin Clark more props on her record and her situation than I do LeBron with this 40,000. Because Caitlin Clark did all this in college with one school. And now she's the highest scoring. She's the highest scoring individual, not just for the women, for the men as well.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a sign of work. She put work in, man. And I always, always respect work over anything else. A person that gets out there and grinds, a person that gets out there and grinds and earns her reputation, earns her accomplishment. See, to me, this is another sign of LeBron trying to rob a legitimate accolade from somebody else. That's how I feel about that. That's how I feel about it.
I agree with you 100%. You do that. Switch from team to team, looking for a championship. Switch from team to team, and then he get on the team with other heavy hitters. And you know, like I said, I ain't taking nothing away from his game, but I will say this: his game ain't what it should be. Because he knew the way the people before him did it. He didn't do it the way they did it. He did it for the team, looking for a championship, looking for, you know, GOAT. Nah, in my opinion, he ain't even in the conversation to be a GOAT. He a hell of a player, but that's all I can give him.
Wow.
Yeah.
You that's boys all get I can a whole give. Bunch of flack from that. Still, who you can
yeah.
yeah. like words to people. Still.
Yeah, some people.
I said what I said.
Hey,
I got your back.
everybody doesn't give the title king the same way. To me, as well, and you all know this, and every time I say that, the only combat to it is hating. You just hating. I'm not a hater, bro. What I am is a person who sees with my eyes, not with my heart, not with my head. I see with my eyes. And then I make a decision. Exactly. As far as I'm concerned, just like you just said, big boy, I look at the ranks of the NBA and how things have gone since we were little boys coming home from church and watching the game. Okay?
Yeah.
And I saw this man dunk contest. He ducked it. He backed out of it and didn't want to do it. Well, bruh, this is a rite of passage. All the greats before you did it. What makes you too good to do it? But then, like Ted brought up, we'll see at the beginning of games, he running around dunking, going to a layup line. You know? Bruh, if you can do it then, do it during the competition.
Yeah.
If you lose, man. If you lose, bruh. And then I recall games, the All-Star game, where Kobe and all them got on him because he wouldn't take a shot. You know, he passed enough shots. And, you know, I'm going to bring this up, and I'm going to say this. That Kills Corner episode where Tree's son said, how can I be mad at him for making smart basketball decisions? Bruh, listen. Mike made smart basketball decisions.
Yeah.
Magic made excellent basketball decisions. Bird made great basketball decisions. But guess what? When the time came to show who they are and how they're going to get it done, those men stood up. Too many times LeBron has backed down.
They didn't cut the rep. They didn't cut the rep.
Hey, look, check it out. In them championships, remember that Miami game? Ray Allen had to save him. He took that shot and missed and go fake like he won it again. Bosh got the rebound and passed it to Ray Allen in the corner. Bingo. All right? And then you had another one when Kyrie saved him with Cleveland.
Yep.
Okay? And if you that dude, many players would come to you. So why you chasing rings? Why you didn't stay at Cleveland? Okay, after you deserted and went to Miami, you Dwayne Wade taught you how to win, you know. You showed him when you first got there and stuff. So you had to go through trials, and then you won. You went back to Cleveland, yeah, you won there. But you're supposed to stay there, get players to come to you. But you chased him, like I said. He had it all calculated about coming to L.A., you know, had this record in sight, you know. About the scoring thing, calculated, well, if I do this a year, you know, it's easy to score. We got the three-point shot, and I can just go to the line maybe 15 times a game for show 10 and plus, you know. And
Well, the NBA, and this is one thing that drives me crazy, the Shannon Sharp and those type of guys. They act like they can't see that the NBA shoehorned LeBron into the position that he's in. Now, I'm not knocking his talent at all. But what I'm saying is it has become taboo for anybody to keep it real on what they see out of LeBron James, the lack of production, okay, the lack of heart, courage. You know, to me, I grew up watching play with courage. I grew up watching players play with heart. So I'm sorry, when you bring somebody to me who's not playing with character, who's not playing with heart, it's hard for me to get behind that player. It's hard for me to get behind that player because I don't see the things that have made players great in the past. And because the NBA needed a LeBron James so bad, they put him up on that pedestal. Everybody just goes along with it. No.
Hey, Let me ask y'all this. Now, big boy, I really like what you said, you know, about he's a great player, but he's not, you know, considered the king or the goat, for sure. because Muhammad Ali made that statement the greatest of all times. And regardless of all the boxers we done had, the Tysons, this and that, Muhammad Ali is still considered the greatest of all time.
Yep. Yep.
You know? And so, you know, you got to get that to Mike, you know, and especially of what he's doing now. LeBron's shoes don't sell like Mike's brand. You know what I mean? Everybody is wearing Jordan brand, for sure. And LeBron wants to emulate Mike. He was his number 23. He did the movie Space Jam. You know, Kobe was his own man. You know what I mean? Kobe stayed a Laker. Kobe said, hey, I don't need you, Shaq. I'm going to win one without you, and I'm going to stay a Laker. I'm going to build. I'm going to go through this and that, but I'm going to stay true to my team. You know, and through injuries and this and that, and I got five. You got four. You're not going to get five. He's not going to get five. You know, they gave him that. And if he doesn't get five, with him having four, like you say, big boy, how can he be considered the GOAT?
Hmm.
You can't. So Shannon needs to shut up.
How am I? He needs to shut completely up, man.
He was like a damn fool when he wore that goat mask and stuff with a cigar in his mouth. You look like a doggone cuss, an idiot, man.
Yeah.
Goat James.
Goat. You know. Well, all I'm going to say is, to me, that goat status has kind of tapered off from what it used to be. You know, if that is the case, that GOAT status has tapered off to me, because, you know, guys work hard, man. Guys work hard and you know, did what they needed to do to be titled a GOAT. And to just give it to LeBron like that, to me, man, y'all are the reason that sports is falling like it is, you know? Y'all are the reason why, you know, more people are turning away than turning to, you know? Guys earn GOAT status, man, and there's a lot of people that don't like Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah was a GOAT, man. Isaiah was a GOAT to me. You know, he was a great point guard, and he ran that Pistons team to perfection. Seriously. And I know a lot of people say, well, how can you like Mike and the Pistons at the same time? I like basketball. I like competition. It was nothing like sitting there on Sundays eating my dinner and watching the game and see dudes get at each other. Seriously. With all these fake calls and all that crap. Go ahead.
So you know it had to be hard for me, Isaiah being a homeboy, you know what I'm saying? I'm knowing him. I'm knowing his nephew. His sister used to live in the same apartment downstairs from where we lived at. All right, and I know his niece, Margaret, and then know his other niece, Dana, that he talks about, that used to play ball with her, and like I said, his nephew, Daryl Thomas. And but like I say, they're going against Mike. They beat Mike to the ground. So I'm feeling some type of way. But I always, like you say, you know, we called them Tusk back in the day. You know, you know, as Tusk, and then he came in there, they called him Zeke. You know, and also we known him as Lloyd, because he just named him because his older brother name was Lloyd. That's where he learned the game from. His brother was better than him, you know, but he was a dope fiend. So, anyway, man, like you say, Isaiah was that guard, but it messed up when he, you know, didn't shake Mike's hand. You know, when they, after Mike and him beat them, they walked off the court. Mike said he didn't have nothing to do with it, you know. Scotty said that, no, he didn't want Isaiah to play, you know. you know, when they asked Mike, Mike said no Isaiah questions, you know. So, but I'm sure Mike nudged them. Mike said something. I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But yeah.
You
but
talking
Isaiah,
about with
you know,
the
they,
Olympic team. You talking
right,
about with the
exactly.
Olympic team. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And they put John Stockton on there. Then that game, the next time they play, Isaiah plays Stockton, he fries Stockton with 40 points.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, but yeah, Tusk was so special, man, from St. Joe's, Jack. So, yeah, indeed. Yeah. So, but
you know, me, I just, you know, I is a mute argument or conversation because the people that love LeBron gonna keep loving LeBron, and I don't want to change anybody's mind. At all, but I just wish that they would consider all of the statements and comments that were just made, because everything that was just said was absolutely legitimate. It was absolutely, it wasn't hate, it wasn't personal feelings. See, the thing about Shannon Sharpe, and I said this earlier, Shannon Sharpe was still playing football when Mike was doing his thing. So he didn't really, and Shannon Sharpe has said this several times, he didn't pay attention to SportsCenter and Sportsnet and Cold Pizza and all of that stuff. He didn't really pay attention to that. So once he retired and wasn't playing sports no more, he had time to go to the gym, work out, watch SportsCenter while he's working out. And I believe personally where he developed his love for LeBron James. But, bruh, we talking about six three-peat legitimate championships.
Well.
Six of them. Compared to your four, and you're not even going to touch Kobe now. You're not going to touch Kobe, you know. So I just want people to have a real conversation. Not nobody's hating, nobody's viewing him as anything negative. Nobody. But I want you to have a legitimate conversation, man. You know, and that's all I. The people that are still screaming, LeBron is the GOAT.
Well, you can't
know?
Have Shannon Sharpe because you can't have Shannon Sharpe because you got to put in the fact that Mike egged him. You know what I mean? And he got a hatred for Mike. He's biased. He's unbiased for Mike and biased for LeBron, because like you say, Mike didn't let him in his party, so he's gonna always see. He's not gonna have an objective. He can't be objective about it at all. He's in his feelings when it comes about that. So
right,
that's why
right.
Every time he's always poo-pooing on Mike, no matter what Mike did, like you say, the six championships, the back-to-back, you know, the scoring titles, the defensive titles. How many defense titles
yeah.
has LeBron won? You know?
I believe one. Is it one?
In there for 20 years, you know? Mike did it, took care of his business, and got on out, you know? And the toll got on him for, you know, the wear and tear of how Mike, you know, the Olympics and stuff and college. And then, like you say, going through the battles of how they played in that era, you know. And then Mike used to be like a robot, stay up playing cards, smoking cigars, you know. He wouldn't go in the bed,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He gets sleep on the plane. He gets, you know,
sleep
while he's sitting on the bench watching the practice and stuff of that nature, riding on the bus, you know. You know, you've seen the documentary, you know. So, yeah, man. So, you know, yeah, man. It's as far as the Shannon Sharpe, it can never be. no type of objective conversation with him on that. He'd fool around and throw that doggone mask on and stuff, man. And I definitely had to hit him in the head with something, man.
All right, y'all. Great conversation. We're going to take a quick one, and we'll be right back. When we come back, it's Combine NFL time. 563-999-3782. We'll be right back. Man, that song hyped me up, man. I'm ready to. I ain't putting on no helmet, no pads, and nothing going out there. I'm done. But this is a song that motivates me, you know. And, you know, this weekend, first of all, shout out to the Morton Anderson family. Mort died this weekend with complications with throat cancer. So, you know, got to give a shout out to Mort. I was wondering why we weren't seeing him, and that was the reason. He passed away this weekend with the throat cancer. So, you know, prayers up and shout out to his family. And a thank you. Thank you, Mort, for all that you gave us as sports fans. You know, I enjoyed you. And he was always fair. I can say that. He didn't let personal feelings or biases get in the way of doing his job. So, you know, that's a good thing. Other NFL news, Russell Wilson, y'all, the Broncos are letting Russell Wilson go. I guess Sean Payton said, man, y'all deal with this Bama. I can't. He's not giving me what I want. And, you know, the funny thing about it, I was listening to commentators talk, and they were saying, well, Sean Payton worked good with short quarterbacks, so that's why he should have worked with Russell Wilson. Listen, Drew Brees and Russell Wilson have different personalities, different characteristics. They're different all the way around the board. So because he did good with one, that doesn't automatically mean he'll do good with the other. Also, in other NFL news,
Can I touch on this Russell Wilson? I don't think Sean Payton gave him a chance, you know, because, you know, Sean, like you say, Sean Payton from old school. He believed in team and stuff, and everybody treated the same. Russ had his own – he had four parking spaces, had his own office. He'd come through the back door. It was like he was, you know, crown me king, you know. And Peyton didn't like that, you know. And then you already got the superstar wife and stuff. So they made special accommodations for Russ. And so Peyton didn't like that. And so right then, that stuck him wrong right then. So he like, man, you see how he dogged him out, ragged the coach out, you know. So, you know, that was inevitable for him. And he benched him and talked down to him and all that, you know. So you knew that was going to happen. You know, so I just hope Russell get the chance to go maybe to Atlanta. You know, they need a quarterback, you know.
New York to the Giants, you know. Go get a new start somewhere. Maybe even Pittsburgh, you know. But Pittsburgh probably get Justin Fields or so, you know. But yeah, that's about it on that. Because I believe in Russ, you know.
Right. Hey, I'm with you. Russ never had a fair chance in Denver. He's never had a fair chance in Denver. It was always a situation where the coach, the head coach, wanted someone else. He didn't want Russ, you know. So, you know, that's climbing uphill with your leg in a cast. So, you know, Russ just didn't click with Peyton, you know. And the thing that's killing me is people know that that's the reason why Russ is no longer a Bronco. But it's almost like they, you heard more about Sean Payton in a negative manner with Bounty Gate than you did with this Russell Wilson situation, you know. It's a shame to me that, you know, this man was treated in the manner that he was. He may not have worked out good with y'all, but he's still Russell Wilson. Do I want him with Washington? No. I don't want him with Washington at all, but there are some teams out there that I believe Russ will fit in great with. You just got to let some of those privileges go. Like you said, the way he enters into the field that and all of that stuff like that, you got to let that go, bro. You got to let that go. What you did with Seattle means nothing to the Broncos or any other team that you join with. So you got to let that, your past be your past and appreciate your accolades and move on. Just move on, bro. You know.
I wouldn't feel that bad for Russell because he's still getting $39 million regardless.
Yeah.
He's still getting $39 million. So regardless of what he's going through, he's getting paid.
Mm-hmm. He gets $39 this year, and then he gets another $50 next year.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's 34, ain't it?
No, it's 50. The contract was for $100 and something, and he's already received a big piece of that. Next year, he's on schedule for $39 million, and then the year after that, he's on schedule for $50 million. And any team that signs him, they only have to pay him $1.5 million.
Yeah, that's so, what I was going to lead to. And like I say, any team, because I would say even sign him up for a backup quarterback, you know, like you say, to get Russell Wilson for 1.5 and I ain't got to pay him that big salary, I'll get him.
Yeah.
Because with what we saw last year with so many quarterbacks getting hurt, you know, hey, if Russell Wilson my backup quarterback, shoot, you know, I'll take it. So
yeah,
somebody
yeah.
better get him at that price and let Denver pay that tag.
Yeah.
You know?
But see, Washington can't afford to get in that position. We can't afford to get in that position because, you know, our media, man, they too doggish here, man. They'll never give that man a fair opportunity, you know. It just wouldn't happen here. It wouldn't be good here at all. So, you know, I wish him well wherever he goes. Like I always say, it's hard as hell for me to feel sorry for a millionaire, dude. It's hard. And I know he has his ups and downs and things that he's going through and all of that. But at the same time,
I don't feel sorry for him at all.
Yeah, $89 million over the next
year. Yeah,
he's getting paid.
He getting paid. He got a beautiful wife, kids, and all that. He's straight. You know, I say somebody gonna get that talent for that price. They just wait.
Russell's living his best life right now.
Even
if the team signed him, even if they signed him as a backup, he get that money.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, that's the bottom.
Hey, you know what? He can even wait. He don't even have to start no season nowhere. He can wait till, as I say, quarterback's going to get hurt and at a team assign him, you know? So he can take
that?
A vacation real quick, you know, get healed up or whatever. So, shoot. But, yeah, we saw it last year. Definitely half the NFL got hurt. You know, just like the NBA players, that they know with their low-cut shoes. So it's something.
Yeah. And speaking of players not playing anymore, Jason Kelce has decided to call it quits with the Eagles. But the question I want to ask, do you guys think Kelce is a first ballot Hall of Famer, or is it his association with his brother and Taylor Swift that's giving him that Hall of Famer sting? Excuse me.
Now, he did what he did for 13 years with Philly, and Philly won a Super Bowl. And Taylor Swift ain't had nothing to do with that. And if you look at the body of work that Jason Kelce put in, I would give it to him. Just looking at his body of work and how he, you know, did what he did, and he was still. If you look at him, he reminds you of one of them regular white boys. He drink his beer. He gets drunk as much as he gets drunk and does what he does, and not trying to seek, you know, a whole lot of accolades for what he does. Now, his brother, his brother doing something else, you know. He's just always doing what he's doing. But I would definitely give him some accolades and at least put him in the running for Hall of Fame.
Okay. I don't know. It just, when I watched his retirement speech yesterday, and I asked myself, you know, I know he's been a long time with one team and he's won a Super Bowl, but what makes him a first ballot Hall of Famer? I guess, you know, like you said, the body of work and the fact when it came to that offensive line, I can't recall a whole lot of problems coming from that center position. You know, I saw right tackles, left tackles, guards that failed miserably, but it seemed like Kelce was one that was always on point with his job. So from that standpoint, yeah, I don't have any problem with him being a first ballot Hall of Famer, think back to other players, Brian Mitchell, who was definitely a first ballot, but because sports writers like Skip Bayless didn't agree with him, you know, the man has been held out, you know, and I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong that these guys, and seriously, what do you guys think about this? Players who are already in the Hall of Fame should be the ones who decide who comes in. I think the job, because we've seen so much wrong done with this voting by the sports writers, I think that it should be taken away from them. It really should be taken away from them. And the players who played and do what it took to be a Hall of Famer vote for who should join them as Hall of Famer. I think they should take it away from those writers. What do you guys think about that? Anybody?
Well, yeah, what if some players don't like another player? I hear what you're saying about the sports writers. I think maybe a different type of panel other than the players. But I hear maybe old-time players, maybe so. But then also maybe fans. So I don't know. But like you say, a lot of players, some people have been cheated, you know, on it and stuff. And sometimes it can be who the sports writer like, you know, and this and that, or if they have if they're biased about someone, you know. So, yeah.
And that's all it is. That's all it is right there, man. You know, the question has been asked several times. Why isn't Brian Mitchell a part of the Hall of Fame? Oh, well, reporters really didn't get along with him. Well, reporters weren't on the field. And because they didn't get along with him, that doesn't take away what the man has done.
Right.
Who he has been.
Right. And reporters don't need, like you say, they haven't even played the game, you know, so. And like you say, because he didn't give you a good interview or because he told you, you know, you asked a stupid question, he told you, you know, where to go, you know, you got a problem with it. Well, I ain't going to vote him in. I'm the piece with him getting in or not, you know?
That whole thing with him is about he's not willing, or he ain't going to kiss nobody behind.
Right.
He say what he feel, and he read what he said. So they trying to, you know what they do. Just black folks that ain't willing to play the bot. When we ain't willing to play the part, they got to villainize us, make us look like we, you know, we ain't doing what we supposed to do.
Right.
So,
I think a player,
if you ask me, he should be in there. And anybody that thinks anything different, they thinking from the wrong end. They not thinking about what the Hall of Fame is all about anyway. The Hall of Fame is supposed to be about a body of work that you put in and the sports that you love. because you're not going to put in that body of work unless you love the sport. So, you know, they doing them wrong, but, you know, and at the end of the day, he not hurting me. You know, and he still saying what's on his mind and still doing what he feel like needs to be done.
You're right.
Because Brian Mitchell can travel from D.C. to Philly, and he ain't one steakhouse that won't get a man a free meal. You know, he loves and appreciated even against teams, even with the teams that he played against. You know, they still had a respect for the man. So, you know, it's just, you know, I'm seriously sick of players being kept out of the hall because they didn't get along with a sports writer. Who cares? Who cares, bro? If we didn't get along, we didn't get along. That doesn't take away all I gave to this sport. That doesn't take away because let's not forget, until the guy that played with y'all, Ted, Devin Hester, until Devin Hester came in the league and did his thing, Brian Mitchell held the record for punt return yards, kick return yards, you know, touchdowns. Everything. He held the record. If it was anything about punt returns and kick returns, Brian Mitchell held that record. And it's crazy to me how he just, you know, you hear about other players, right? And their accolades and all of that and the records they held and everything. And it's like, okay, well, you know, what about Brian Mitchell? He still holds a few of those punt return, kick return records. And it's just not putting the man in. And I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Y'all know, to me, as far as Washington goes, I think that whole daggone 91, 89, I think they all should go in the Hall of Fame, you know? The Hogs, how could you put one Hog in the Hall of Fame when it was a complete unit that did their thing, you know? That's just like going to the 85 Bears and only putting Singleton in. Ah, you got to put the whole group in, man. You can't just put one, two players in. You say what?
Oh, I'm saying you can't say one person did it by itself. Because one person didn't do it by themselves. It was a whole group. As far as the Hogs go, you know, did Jacoby make it?
Yeah.
And now, where's Mark Lynn? Where's Bob?
Russ Graham. Yeah.
All of them should be in there, too, because all of them, man, that was one of the best blocking lines that the NFL seen.
Yeah.
That was the one that how they all did make it is beyond me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I say that whole Hogs unit should be in the Hall of Fame. That whole unit should be in the Hall of Fame. Joe Gibbs is in the Hall of Fame, and that's not to say nothing bad about Joe Gibbs, but how could you put him in the Hall and not the unit that he commandeered?
Got him there. The unit that got him there.
That got him there. Yeah, so, I mean, to me, the Hall of Fame, you know, and I've said this several times, it has become a most liked competition. And that's why I'm asking, should Kelsey go in, you know, because we all know right now, the league loves Kelsey and his brother. Love him to death. And I understand about the time he spent in Philly and all he did for the Eagles, but to me, it's just like he's hot right now, you know? He's hot right now. So this is the time to get him in with no question. Because everybody's saying he's hot right now. But like the point Big Boy just brought up, his stats were great. His stats were great. And you know, numbers don't lie. Numbers do not lie. And you know, when you look at his numbers, there's no argument, I believe. There's no argument at all of this young man making it to the Hall, seriously. But again, I want some of these other players who've been completely dismissed. You know, has Brett Favre made it to the Hall yet? I believe he has. Yeah, because when he got caught up in that scandal for that volleyball arena, they said Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre. I really don't care what you do off the field, especially if you retired already. I don't care what you do off the field. But, you know, what you did on the field matters. It truly matters. Way someone's accomplishment like that to me just because, well, I don't like the way he interviewed. Who are you? Who are you? How many times have you suited up and played in an NFL game where every play is a car accident? Where every play is a car crash? Who are you? You know, to say that, oh, well, this person doesn't belong or that person, that's crazy. To me, that's crazy. You are robbing someone of their legacy because they might have been short communicative with you. And we ain't talking about, oh, he was caught drunk driving and killed someone or you know, he was caught stealing or shoplifting or anything like that beneath and a Hall of Famer. No, you're seriously not voting this guy in because you guys didn't get along. And I don't recall ever seeing how you feel about somebody landing you where they want you to be. I thought the Hall of Fame was about your accolades. I thought it was about your numbers, all you did. I mean, come on, man. Half the time, half the time we weren't privy to some of the communication. We didn't know nothing about it. So to me, to rob somebody of a great achievement like that is just, it's not right. It's not right. That's all I got to say about that. T, you still with me, T? All right.
Yep. What's up?
All right. Ted, you take a minute. Big boy, you take a minute. Y'all give me my final words, man.
Big boy, it was good hearing your voice, man. Like I say, hey, you're going to be ready to sing again, man. And good show, Kel. Like I said, continue your vision, man. And, hey, everybody's listening, man. Be safe, man. And, yes, definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to say, keep doing what you're doing, because you can't succeed if you stop. So keep doing what you're doing, and I wish all the success to you that's meant for me.
That's what's up. Great last words, man. Great last words. And I thank you guys for joining in, helping your boy out. Seriously, man. You guys don't know how much it means to me, man, to have you here and joining in. I really, truly appreciate the 2 hours that you have given me tonight. You know, you could have been anywhere, but you're here with your boy, and your boy is here with you. For real. All right, y'all. Hey, be safe, you know. Love your family members, man. Love and pray for your family members, man, because you know, and your friends as well, because we never know what people are going through, man. And sometimes all it takes is a, hey, what's up? What you doing? How you doing? And it'll change the direction of a person's whole day is going. Trust me. We'll be back Thursday, 5 o'clock p.m. Tell a friend, anybody you think that may be interested in some good old sports talk, you know, let them know we here on Kale's Corner doing our thing, you know, and let's continue to pray for those who need the prayer, and which is everybody. Which is everyone. So, you know, this election, get ready to come up, you know. Let's hope and pray that things will be put in place like it needs to be. All right. So with that being said, everybody have a great night, a great Wednesday, and Lord willing, I'll be right back at you on Thursday. All right. Let's go out with a little bit of Prince, if you don't mind.